Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodgings and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In this beautiful solemnity of Corpus Christi, or the most holy body and blood of Christ, my intention is to preach very simply and very briefly, so we'll see how that turns out. And then what we're celebrating today on the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Jesus Christ is the church is giving us a day to really contemplate, to really celebrate, and to really rejoice the fact that the Lord gives us himself on the altar in the most blessed sacrament of the altar, that he gives us himself in the Eucharist under the species of bread and wine. Now, when you really take a step back and think about that statement, what we realize is that God gives us everything in the Eucharist. There isn't anything more that God can give us. There isn't anything more that we can reasonably hope for. And what I mean by reasonably hope for is it's unreasonable to hope for anything else or anything more than God himself. The simple question I would like to ask us to reflect on today is, do I really believe, or maybe how much do I believe, that Jesus Christ is really, truly, and substantially present in the Eucharist? And do I live my life accordingly? How much do I really believe that Jesus is in that tabernacle, or that he's on that altar, or that I receive him on my tongue? And does the way I live my life reflect that belief? Let me take a couple passes at what I mean by that. First, I went to this summer to Lourdes in France. And I hope it goes without saying, I don't say this to disparage any sightings of Our Lady. I went there myself. But you know, here's this place where some time ago Our Lady appeared and performed miracles, and there's this sort of healing water there. And people travel every day from all over the world to go visit this place where Our Lady appeared, right? And Catholics, we love miracles, right? We love, what's it, I hate it when I forget words. What's it called when the body does, no, you can't respond. Incorrupted, we love incorrupted saints, you know? We love places where miracles happen. We love to go visit Lourdes and say, "Our Lady appeared here, she spoke here, she stood here." But one of the things that always, even when I get swept up in those things, it always comes back to me and says, wait, but God himself is present to me all the time. So present, it's scandalous. It's almost hard to believe that the greatest gift that the Lord can give us, which is himself, is super readily available. It's so available to us that we can take it for granted. There's an old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. And I fear that sometimes, because Jesus makes himself so readily available to us, it's familiar, and we begin to lose, I guess I want to say we have contempt. We begin to lose the sense of how sacred and how important it is in our lives. So when I reflect upon the way we'll go, or let's leave behind the Blessed Mother. You know, when I was in Rome as a deacon, Pope Benedict was Pope at the time, and we tried so hard to meet Pope Benedict, right? And I got a chance just to shake his hand. And when I shook his hand, I was so nervous I couldn't say anything. So, you know, all my friends around him are having miniature conversations. And I just, I just looked him in the eye and kissed his ring and then backed away. I was so overwhelmed to be in the presence of this great man. And as I was walking away, my hands were shaking. This happened, right? But I can come to Mass every day. I do come to Mass every day. And the familiarity of the Eucharist is such that I can receive the Eucharist, sometimes not even being aware of the fact that this is my Lord, my King, my Savior, the creator and sustainer of the universe, that all gifts I could possibly reasonably want to receive are contained herein. So, brothers and sisters, how much do we believe that? And do we live our lives accordingly? Somebody quoted to me yesterday a quote from a saint. I can't remember who the saint was because my friend speaks very fast. And he said that, this saint said that there is enough grace in the Eucharist to make us saints today. And if we think about it, that's got to be true, right? Because what graces could we possibly want to receive? Right? Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 6, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I remain in you and you remain in me, and I will raise you up at the last day. But if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Right? If this really is Jesus, if God is giving us not some gift that's not himself, but giving us his very self in the sacrament of the Eucharist, then this saint has to be correct. Right? That there is enough grace in every Holy Communion for us to become saints today. So let me tell you something else I've heard. I've heard our sisters, I don't know which ones, but I've heard several of them say, it must be a community saying, that the only downside with being a celibate, with being a bride of Christ, is that you know if there's something wrong in your relationship with Jesus, it's your fault, right? It's never Jesus' fault. So if you're thinking about this, if you think about the Eucharist and all the graces that come in the Eucharist and the fact that this is the only thing necessary and that the grace of the Eucharist is enough to make you a saint right now, and you say, well, you know, I don't have that experience. I come and receive communion every week, and I don't feel like it's transforming my life or it's making me a saint. I would say this: if there's something wrong in your problem with in your relationship with the Eucharist, it's not the Eucharist's fault. And here's maybe the most practically helpful thing I can tell you about the Eucharist, is that sacraments, our fancy theological Latin term, sacraments work ex opere operato, which means the sacraments are efficacious in themselves. Simply by doing them, they work. However, how much grace, if any, we receive from the sacraments depends largely on our disposition. In other words, if we are receiving, and I think probably all of us are in this boat, so I'm just going to speak confidently that we're all on the same page here, right? If we're receiving the Eucharist, and it's not absolutely transforming our lives, right? If I don't walk out of here a saint because I'm being fed by God's very life, then I have to conclude that there is some defect in my openness to the Eucharist, in my reception of the Eucharist. Because while the sacraments work ex opere operato, my disposition to receive is going to partially determine how much of the graces of the sacrament I receive. So do I believe in the Eucharist? Do I believe that that really is the summer of all good gifts that God can give because it is himself? Do I believe that he feeds me with his own life? Do I believe that that my happiness resides therein, that if I'm struggling, do I believe that I need nothing more than the Eucharist? I need nothing more than Jesus. Do I believe that? I've had a few graced moments in my priesthood, by the way, where these things don't happen often, where I'm in a really difficult place. I'm struggling. I'm in a dark place. I've been celebrating Mass. Priests are not immune from having our minds wander during Mass either, right? Just because we're up there doesn't mean that our minds can't wander. But every once in a while, I have these grace moments. And there's been two or three times where I've really been struggling in life, and I've looked down at the host right after I've consecrated it, and by some grace, it's clicked and said, this is all I have and it's all I need, right? Lord, you are the only one who's going to get me through this. And with you, I can get through anything because you're the only one that makes me happy. And without you, I have nothing. There's been a few grace moments, but I pray for that grace for all of us, and I pray for it to happen more often. So when I talk about, you know, it affecting how we live our lives, my last question for you is, do we live the other 6 days of our life like the Eucharist is the center of our lives? We can have a bit of, my promise to go short is running out. We can have a bit of worldly prudence about things, and here's one of the tricky things about being Christian, is that the spiritual things are the most real things, but the worldly things seem the most real, so we can touch them, right? The need for food seems real to us because we experience hunger, right? The need for shelter seems real to us because we can experience being hot and burning in the sun or being cold, right? We can see the money in our bank account, right? So we make prudent choices with money, right? We have a job. We try to keep our job. We save up money. We say, should I buy this Bentley or should I buy this Honda? Well, I'm not going to die tomorrow, so I'm going to save some of the money and buy the Honda. And we put away for retirement, right? We make prudent decisions to provide for ourselves for the things of the world. But as we go throughout the week and we find ourselves struggling, we find ourselves facing temptation, or we just find ourselves maybe like adrift a little bit, do we already start thinking about the Eucharist? On Wednesday, when I'm facing some sort of a temptation, does my response to that temptation have to do with, does it cross my mind how I respond to this, how I act is going to affect how well disposed I am to receive my Lord on Sunday or on Thursday if I go to daily Mass, right? And that's what I think I'd like to encourage us all to do, is to remind ourselves about what exactly it is we're doing here. Because we do believe. I think we all believe in the Eucharist, but we need to believe more. We need to pray for a greater outpouring of faith. And we need to sort of prepare our minds and hearts to have that full faith, that full confidence, and that full awareness of what it is God gives us in the Eucharist, which is his very self. And frankly, it's all we really need. If everything else is taken away from us, the Eucharist is all we need. And with that realization, hopefully, we live the rest of our lives informed by the Eucharist or in preparation for receiving our Lord's body and blood in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist.